We're here in Chulin on Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Beis. Yesterday we discussed Abaye's Shita. Does he reject the principle of Ein Gozrin Gzeira L'Gzeira? And we suggested one approach, which is mostly based on the Rosh Yosef, who's the author of the Prima Gadin, that certainly Abaye accepts the principle of Ein Gozrin Gzeira L'Gzeira. How does he justify, therefore, the Iser Derabanan of Ha'alah al-Shulchan Abasar Ofen Gvina, which at the face of it would seem to be a gzera l'gzera, meaning that the Rabbanan wanted to be marchik you from Achila by saying don't put the chicken and the milk on the same table lest you eat the two together. Now even if you eat the two together, that's a violation of an Issa. The Rabbanan were holding now like Rabbi Akiva, and that's Rav Ashi Shita in our Mishnah, that Basar of Bechol is only Derabbanan, which is a Gzeira to Basar Behem. So we have a double Gzeira here, Gzeira L'Gzeira. So based on Rashi, the Rosh Yosef comes to the following conclusion. Rashi says, Ikol Migzar Ha'alos O Otu Ha'alos Achilas Basar Behem. And he says the following, that Rashi is emphasizing here the relationship between Ha'alah and Achila in such a way that this removes the application of Ein Gozrin Gzeira L'Gzeira to the case of Ha'alah, because Ha'alah is connected to Achila, and the relationship between Ha'alah and Achila is such that it's not together Gzeira, that's not considered a Gzeira from Ha'alah to Achila. Whatever you put on the table you eat, and therefore if you put chicken and cheese on the same table that you're eating from, you're going to come to eat the chicken and the cheese together. So that when the gzera of chicken, of oaf, was made, and that's gzera atu achilas basa behema, included in that gzera of achilas oaf im gvina was halal shulchan of oaf im gvina. It's all included in the original gzera. This morning I'd like to discuss with you the approach. It's a common approach of Maharam Shif and Teferis Yaakov. And they want to say the following. Abaye doesn't mean to say that there's no Gzeira L'Gzeira. This is a Gzeira L'Gzeira. But rather, according to Abaye, instead of setting up a chashash that they'll come to Issa Doraisa, I'm sorry, in a situation where we have a chashash that might lead to a violation of an Issa Doraisa, then we do apply Gzeira L'Gzeira. That's Abaye's Shita. It's a whole different radical approach. That basically Abaye holds that we're not going to apply the principle of Gzeira L'Gzeira, of Ein Gozrin Gzeira L'Gzeira, in this case. In other words, this does not fall under the principle of Ein Gozrin Gzeira L'Gzeira, because Abaye holds that Ein Gozrin Gzeira L'Gzeira will not apply in a situation where there's a possibility of you're coming to violate a Doraisa. Then we will have a Gzeira L'Gzeira. Now, Abaye, within this framework, within this context, would agree that we would not institute an act of gzera on halas ofu gvina shulchan echad because of the fear that he might eat them together. Because if that's our fear, if that's our chashash, if that's what motivates the gzera of halas ofu gvina shulchan echad, then we're not talking about a chashash of an isu doraisa. And again, let's just go over the main principle here of Abaye, according to this approach, is that we will have a gzera l'gzera if there's a chashash of a doraisa. Here we have a chashash of a doraisa. And how is that so? We're not saying that his forgetting his shichicha is going to bring him to eat the two together, meaning the oaf with the gvina. That's not an isa doraisa. If he eats the oaf and the gvina together, that would be an isa drabonon, and that would be ein gozrin gzeira l'gzeira. But rather, here we're going to apply the principle of gzeira l'gzeira, because there is a chashash of a doraisa. How so? If we put the oaf and the gvina on the same table, he might mistakenly come unto the conclusion that he's allowed to put Basar Behema and Gvina on the same table. So the Gzera here is from Oaf to Basar within the context of Halal. In other words, what are you allowed to put on a table with Gvina? If we're going to allow him to put Oaf on the table with Gvina, he's going to come to assume that you're allowed to put Basar Behema on the table with Gvina. And that's going to lead to a violation of an Issa Doraisa. Now, there is a bit of a diuk to support this approach. Why is it that Abaye makes a change from Rav Yosef? And in Abaye's language, it's halah atu halah. Right? Let's take a look at the language of Abaye. He says the following. Aval hacha isharis le lasuke, which means halav ofu gvina, asi lasuke basu gvina. That wasn't the formulation of Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef is saying that if you allow him to do the hasaka, that's to put up lasuke gvina and chalav, he will come to eat them together. Right? Otu achila, that was the language of Rav Yosef here on Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Beis. Abaye clearly omits this atu, this chashash of achila, that halah is atu achila. So again, according to Rav Yosef's formulation, and that's the underlying principle and premise of his kasha, is halah atu achila. Those are the three words you want to emphasize. Halah atu achila. Halah atu achila is gzera l'gzera because achila itself is the rabbanan, and Rav Yosef is right. L'shita. So comes along Abaye, and if you read his language carefully, of isharis lasuki ofu gvina, asi lasuki basu gvina, Abaye is trying to accomplish here the following goal. There is a chashash v'doraisa, meaning of eating basar b'cholav to oraisa. Why? Because if you're allowing him to do halah on ofu gvina, he's going to come to do halah on basar gvina. He doesn't know the difference between the two. And what that means is that within the context of the gzera of halah, which is certainly a gzera, a bona fide, healthy, powerful gzera atu achila in the case of basar b'hema, so the rabbanon said you can't put basar b'hema and Gvina on the same table that you're eating from, and Rav Yosef has no problem with that. That's a classic Zera Atu Adoraisa. Included in that halah of Basar Behema is an Isra halah of Basar Of. Because again, the person, the individual, is not going to distinguish between Basar Of and Basar Behema. So if you allow him one halah, he's going to expand it to the other halah. So we have to make this gzera of halah in a broader scope to include even halahs of, lest he come to halahs behema, which will lead him to a violation of a doraisa. And that's going to be this approach to explain the shita of Abaye and what he's going to do with the problem of ein gozen gzera l'gzera, which again, ein gozen gzera l'gzera means the gzera otu gzera, means that the chashash is only a violation of the Rabbanon. We don't institute and enact a gzera otu a chashash in violation of an isa Rabbanon. But once we include halav of with halav together with halav behema, then we're talking about a chashash doraisa, and in such a case, we are willing to say gzera l'gzera. I mean, you could say it a little bit differently. The way we're formulating it now, it's not really a gzera l'gzera. So that's the shita that I wanted to add. Now, I think what we have to ask over here is, by way of introduction to the sugya for today, is maskiflor of Sheshes. And the question is, who is Rav Sheshes attacking over here? Is he attacking Rav Yosef? That seems to be the impression you get from Rashi. Maskiflor Rav Sheshes. Rashi says, Afilu imtim tzoloma basar of b'chol of doraisa. Adayim mishkachas le'gzer le'gzer. Now, Zir Rav Yosef said, I understand if of is doraisa, then I have no problem. And that was Rav Yosef Shmamino Basar Of Pechol Of Doraisa. But now we're saying, well, even if I grant you that Basar Of Pechol Of is Doraisa, we still have a problem of Gzeru L'Gzeru. And that's the argument of Rav Sheshes, because Halad Rabbanan is Otu Achila, and Achila itself is Rabbanan, because it's Tzonein V'Tzonein, and we're lacking Rosef, we're lacking Derev Bishal Asra Torah, which is the subject that we want to get into. So as things develop over here, Rashi understands that Rav Sheshes is asking a kasha on the shita of Rav Yosef. Now the Maharam says that this kasha could not be a kasha on Abaye, because for sure Rav Sheshes is not saying that there should be no gzeir of halah at all, because everything is tzonin v'tzonin, but rather the intention of Rav Sheshes is to prove that they made a gzeir on halah even if it cannot come to a violation of an Issur Torah. So this is not a kashan abaye, because he also assumes that there's a gzeira on halah, even though the isur basar of becholov is only derabana. But there's a kashya Rav Yosef who wants to prove from the gzeira on halah that the isur basar of becholov is the oraisa, because they wouldn't make a gzeira of gzeira l'gzeira. Now we have the kashya of Rav Yosef. However, this approach, which you'll find in the Maharam, will assume that even that Abaye would apply the principle of Gozrin Gzeva Gzeva even if there's no violation of a Doraisa. And that's not true according to the approach that we mentioned earlier, the name of the Maharam Shif and the Tiferes Yaakov. Abaye's goal was to illustrate, to demonstrate that there is a possibility of violating a Doraisa here because of Halas Of Otu Halas Behema. And now we have to ask the question, well, even in the worst case scenario of Halas Behema, he's not going to come to a Doraisa because we're missing Roseach. There's no Derech Bishul. Now, perhaps we'll get a chance today, we'll see as time goes, to look at Tosfos Dibur Maskil Maskifle. It's a short Tosfos, but Tosfos seems to offer a different explanation as to why the question of Rav Sheshes is directed at Rav Yosef and not at Abaye. We're here on Maskifle. I mean, that's what we're studying. Maskifle Rav Sheshes on Kuf Dalet Omid Beis, towards the top of the daf, and we hope to get to the Mishnah and beyond. Now the issue here is what we call Derech Bishal Asra Torah, which means that the Torah says Lo Sevashel Gedi B'Chalev Imo, and the Torah prohibits Bishal. The concept of Bishal and the definition is very complicated, and it applies in many different areas of Halacha. But suffice it to say that the most basic requirement to achieve Bishul, whether it's on Shabbos, whether it's Basar B'Cholov, whether it's the Isur Bishul of Karban Pesach, in any case, the most basic common denominator, the lowest common denominator, is you need hot water. Now, in the case where he's putting whatever he's putting, let's call it Oaf, let's call it Behema, whatever he's putting on the table together with Kavina, L'chora Pashtus, again, before we see the Gemara's answer, there's no element of heat, there's no hot water involved. That's called Tzonein B'Tzonein. Let's read the Gemara inside before we ask any questions, just to see the text of the Gemara, so you shouldn't attack Berzon, you should attack the Gemara. Maskifle Rav Sheshes, is this not a Gzeira L'Gzeira? once you put something on the table, you might come to eat it together. Sof, even if in the worst case scenario he eats it together, this meat with the cheese, tzonen b'tzonen hu. This is a case of two things that are cold. Now, what exactly is cold? What exactly is hot? The opposite of tzonen is called roseach. Roseach in Kala Torah Kula is called Yad Soledes Bo. That's something that's impossible to put into your mouth. So by definition, if he's coming to eat this cheese with the chicken on the table, as is, again, they may be hot, you know, you could have hot cheese, you could have hot meat, but it's not Yad Soledes Bo. It's still called technically Tzonei B'Tzonei, which again, literally, if you translate Tzonei B'Tzonei, you get the impression that you're talking about two cold items here, but it doesn't have to be two cold items when you put things on the table. Like, for example, I have a cup in front of me which has hot water in it, okay, and I'm going to drink the hot water. It's hot, it's not tzonen, but on the other hand, it's not hot enough to cook something, at least in a halachic sense. And this is based on a sugya in Chulin and also elsewhere. The Gemara is going to establish that the normal way of cooking something is to bring it to a very, very high degree of heat and put it into a pot which is absolutely hot. Now, before we go on here, I just want to get a little bit of a background here based on this very short Tosus, Maskifle Rav Sheshes. Tosus points out, Lo a'abaye kaporech, ela a'rav Yosef chavero porech, kidapirish bekuntris. Tosus here is postulating that the question of Rav Sheshes is directed specifically at Rav Yosef and not at Abaye. And I was very perplexed by this. It seems to me that the question of Rav Yosef should be addressed to everybody, because the very fact that the Mishnah assumes that there's a gzeirah of halah is problematic, because what is halah? In the worst case scenario, it'll lead to achila. That's what we always say, that halah ought to achila. What's so tragic if he eats them together? And again, I'm not advocating to eat meat and milk together, but if they're not cooked together, then it's not basar b'cholav. So you might say, well, it's also the rabbanon. Okay, but to go a step further and prohibit halah, which is not achila, it's just a gzeira otu achila, you know, you're really stretching it pretty far. And especially in the light of what we discussed in the past, that everybody agrees, even Abaye agrees, that ein gozrin gzeira l'gzeira. So you start with one gzeira that says you can't eat meat and milk together, even if they're not cooked together. That's not really basar b'cholav midaraisa, so you can't eat it together. Then you add to that another gzeira, you can't put them on the table together lest you eat them together. That itself should be a gzeira l'gzeira. Why? Why is Abaye comfortable with that? Tosus implies here that the Rav Sheshes is directing, he's earmarking his question to Rav Yosef, but as far as Abaye is concerned, he could be comfortable with this. So I looked in the Masifta to see if he adds anything. I'm just going to read to you his language. You'll tell me, you know, you'll tell me if you think he's placating us. And he writes the following. Tzorech lomar, lefi Tosfos, shekushas Rav Sheshes hoysal Rav Yosef, lo Abaye. Sharei Rav Yosef hoya chaviro shel Rav Sheshes, v'ilo Abaye hoya talmido shel Rav Yosef. So again, we're talking about a historical fact that Rav Yosef and Rav Sheshes are contemporaries. They are colleagues. Abaye is already in the next generation. Is Mistaber Yosef, Rav Sheshes Hikshal Divi Rav Yosef Chavero. It makes sense that if you investigate all of Shas, you'll see dialogue back and forth, question and answer between Rav Yosef and Rav Sheshes, who are two colleagues, two contemporaries. V'lo Divi Abaye. But Abai came later. So from a historical perspective, it makes sense that Rav Sheshis is directing his question at Rav Yosef. He couldn't have been directing his question at Abaye, because Abaye was a non-entity at that time, historically. Now, the impression I get is that he's understanding Tosfos on a very technical level. Conceptually, the question that is being raised here, the objection of Rav Sheshis, is equally difficult, according to Rav Yosef and Abaye as well. I mean, for technical reasons, we're not going to interpret that Rav Sheshis is talking to Rav Yosef. I'm sorry, that Rav Sheshis is talking to Abaye, who's in the next generation, and asking him this question and raising this objection. But that's only a technical problem. That's the way he's learning it. So, in a sense, on the one hand, I'm a little bit more comfortable because that's. That's a hodas baldin. That's an admission that the question of Rav Sheshis is an absolute question on the very mechanism of halav, the gzeira of halav. Gzeira of halav is onto achila, but achila itself is lacking a derech bishul. But for technical reasons, Tosfos is pointing out that Rav Yosef that Rav Sheshis is talking to Rav Yosef because Rav Sheshis is always talking to Rav Yosef. He's never talking to Abaye. But honestly, I'm still not comfortable with this because, you know, to tell me that, you know, that Tosfos is interested in history here. I don't know if you take a look at Tosfos, he says chavero. I guess this interpretation of Tosfos is based on that one word chavero. Chavero means that they were contemporaries, they were colleagues.
Yeah, the question I would raise against this is maybe this one cared about history, but the editors of the Gemara put Rav Sheshit after Abaye, which would indicate to me that they maybe suspect that even if he really was only talking to Rav Yosef, what he's saying is relevant to Abaye as well.
Could be. It's possible. So far we haven't seen the Rishonim go on record to say that. You know, you had a discussion here between Rav Yosef and Abaye, and that seems to be a very valid Shakla V'Tarya dialogue here with Akash and the Teretz and a Rebbe and a Talmud. And now Maskif Law, who's the law over here? The Rishonim seem to assume that that's Rav Yosef.
Mm-hmm.
So let me read to you the last part of this footnote, in which he quotes the Chidushei Maharei Shapiro, and he writes Shadas Tosfos Shakusha Atzma Sheyeches Gam Alibed Abaye. And fundamentally, conceptually, the question, the objection would be fired at Abaye as well. Mishum Sha'afim Yesh Ligzar Gzera Ligzera Mikomakom Ein Ligzar Shalosh Gzeros. Now, even if Abaye is willing to accept Halah in the case of Ov, although Ov itself is Derabbanan, so that's a Gzera Otu Ov, and Ov as a Derabbanan is a Gzera Otu Behema, that Abaye could live with. For whatever reason, whatever you'll say to justify Abaye's position. But now, if you're telling me that Halas Ov is a Gzera Otu Achilas Ov, and Achilas Ov is in turn a Gzera Otu Behemas, Bosa Behema with Gvina, then Bosa Behema with Gvina itself is a Gzera. So you now have a string of three Gzeros. And that's something that even Abaye could not tolerate. So he says the following: Mekomko Ein Ligzar Sholosh Gzeros, in Bosar Of Derabbanan, or Eishkan Yeshkan Sholosh Gzeros. So we make the calculation, there's a string here of three Gzeros. Of Otu Behema. Right, the original gzera was that you're not allowed to eat chicken with milk because you might come to eat meat with milk. Okay, that's achila. Now we have a second gzera. Halah, don't put the chicken on the table together with the cheese because otu achila, you might come to eat them together. Okay, so even in the worst case scenario, let's say he comes to eat them together. Well, let's grant that we're afraid that he might eat the basa behema together with the once you allow halah of oaf, you might come to do the halah of behema, and that will lead you to achila behema. He says the achila gufa is tzonin b'tzonin, and that itself is only gzera otu mivushalom yachad in a case when there would be a bishul. So what I see clearly from the Chidushim Ari Shapiro is that, conceptually at least, forget about historically, the kasha of Rav Sheshes is directed at Abai as well. There's no way that Abai could be comfortable with this whole series of gzeres of one on top of the other, on top of the other. You know, you can have a piggyback, but not a piggyback on top of a piggyback. Now, it could be that we can take a different approach, and that is that the reason why Rav Sheshes is not asking any kashas on Abaye is because Abaye doesn't even have the principle of aim goes with gzeir l'gzeir. Maybe Abaye completely throws it overboard, meaning Rav Sheshes is attacking Rav Yosef, because Rav Yosef is very adamant. He's aduk, you know, he's very much connected to this shita that your gzeir has to somehow lead to a doraisa. So Rav Sheshes stands up and he says, well, in the worst case scenario, he'll eat it all together, but it's not a doraisa, it's sorei v'tzonei. Abai, on the other hand, might be able to assume that you could have a gzeira otu a derabbanon, so that even if tzonei v'tzonei is a derabbanon, nevertheless, we have to be very careful about that violation of derabbanon. If we allow you to put this all on the same table, then you might come to eat it together, whether it's of or behema, and eating it together is also because it might lead you to put them together in a pot and heat them up together and violate the Isur Bishul. So what I'm suggesting is that it could be that Abaye is comfortable with accepting a gzeir l'gzeir. Again, the case of challah was different because, if you remember, the case of challah was in chutzlarts where there's no possibility of violating the Issur d'oraisa at all. And that's a whole different story. Here, it's very possible that somewhere down the line it would be a violation of the Issur d'oraisa. Now, why is it that the Gemara assumes that sonin b'tsonin would be mutter? So to answer that question, we have to ask a different question. And this is a very apikursus question.
Wait, you mean mutter d'oraita?
Everything that we're talking about is d'oraita.
Okay.
So let me ask you a more apikursus question. Who says that you can't eat meat and milk together? I looked in the Torah and I didn't find it. The answer is that the Torah repeats itself three times. But in all three times, the Torah says, Lo savashel, the Torah prohibits bishul. And that is going to impact on my definition of achila. Achila in this context, the Bosom of Chol, this is very unique, it doesn't apply to any other Isra at all in the Torah, is a function or a byproduct of bishul. What I mean to say is that the Torah went out of its way to say Lo savashel, and that's going to be the lashon that the Torah repeats over and over again, because the Torah wants to tell you that whatever is also about Basar B'Chalav is only because it is Basar B'Chalav, and what makes it into Basar B'Chalav is Bishul. So if the Torah would have said Lo Sochal Basar B'Chalav or something like that, Lo Sochal Gedi B'Chalav Imo, you would assume it could even include Tzonei B'Tzonei. The Torah says thou shalt not eat meat with milk. Where does the Torah say it's got to be hot meat with hot milk, or one of the two has to be hot? The answer is because the Torah never actually says that you're not allowed to eat basar and chol. The Torah says you're not allowed to cook basar and chol. From the repetition, we're going to derive that you're not allowed to eat basar and chol, but it's only the eating that comes subsequent to the bishul of basar and chol. Again, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that you have to violate the iser of bishul basar and chol. It could be the meat and the milk fell from heaven, or maybe the guy turned on the fire. That's irrelevant. But there's got to be an entity which is a product of bishul, because the Torah only prohibits bishul. The derivation of achila as a separate iser is always manufactured by bishul. So if you don't have the precondition of bishul, then don't talk about an iser achila. The iser achila can only be understood within the framework of bishul.
This brings back my question I wanted to ask. You said bishul was hot water. you doubt to mean water, or maybe frying or roasting?
Yeah. Well, I don't know about frying or roasting, but let's say any hot liquid. It could be oil, it could be some other liquid.
So in other words, if I grill a hamburger and put a slice of cheese on it,
that would not be bishul. That would be called sli.
And that might be
fundamentally different than bishul. For example, the Torah in Korban Pesach says it's got to be sli. And if you mevashal it, then you violate a lav d'oraisa. So you see the Torah is very sensitive to the difference between bishul and sli. Sli is roasting or barbecuing, and bishul is through a medium of liquid. So again, this is not the place to discuss exactly what bishul is. If you'd like, I could prepare that. That's more for my 11:45 shiur. What exactly is bishul?
Still, just grilling a cheeseburger might be mutar d'oraisa.
Correct.
Thank you.
That's going to be a great controversy, exactly whether sli is considered bishul or not. We're going to have another discussion, by the way. There's something called tigun. Now, the difference between tigun and tzli is that with tzli is roasting on an open fire, tigun is through the medium of oil. But it's not like cooking. It's not that the oil is what's causing a cooking, but rather the oil is causing frying, and that's called tigun. And the question is that included on the bishul? Then we're going to have another discussion about what's called kavush. Kavush means if you take meat and you soak it in milk for 24 hours. Well, we're going to have a discussion about roseach. Let's say there's a contact between meat and milk and they're both hot, or at least one of them are hot. Does that negia create bishul, at least at that point where they have contact? And that's called roseach, maliach kareik roseach. You can salt something and that also might be considered roseach. That's also considered. So there are going to be a myriad of questions that have to be addressed in our question of what defines bishul. And all that is d'oraisa, because again, on a d'rabbanan level, you can't eat meat and milk together. It could be freezing cold coming out of the freezer, and you're not allowed to eat them together. Not only that, you can't even put them on the same table together. So what's going to be the answer to Rav Sheshis' kasha? Omar Abaye. Now again, according to Tosfos, Omar Abaye means in the next generation. You always get the impression that Rav Yosef, at this point, packs his bags and he says, I don't know the answer to your question. Which is a very big pella, you know, that Rav Yosef, the Rebbe, and the colleague of Chavero Shel Rav Sheshis couldn't answer Rav Sheshis. We had to wait to the next generation for Abaye. Okay, fine. By the way, the very fact that Abaye came forward to answer this question would indicate what? I mean, I said before that it indicates that Rav Yosef himself didn't have an answer to this question, but what else does it indicate? If Abaye had to answer this question, that he was bothered by this question. Do you follow what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Abaye was the one who got up and he contested Rav Yosef. So if this kasha was not a kasha on Abaye, why does he feel compelled to stand at the plate and give an answer to this question? The simple pshat here in this Gemara is that the kasha of Sheshis was either directed specifically at Abaye, or at least it included Abaye. Abaye has problems over here, as we said before, because Abaye holds ain't goes from gzera l'gzera. So already, Abaye could work it out that halah is considered part of, halah's oaf is considered part of halah's behema, or maybe the halah is considered part of the original gzera v'achila. He can wiggle his way out of this problem. But at the end of the day, he agrees that ain goes from gzera l'gzera. That's a pretty well established principle in all of Shas. So how is he going to explain our Mishnah that prohibits halah, even in the case of oaf, when that itself is exera, because in the worst case scenario, if he actually puts the bas behema on the table, even that would not be prohibited, even if he would eat them together. Amar Abaye, exera shemiyale beilfis roseach. Now, ilfis is a kind of a pan, and
there's a picture here.
How does he define it?
This is a picture.
Does he have another word for ilfis? Does he have another Hebrew word? In my
Charis Baal Shulayim Rechavim.
Wait, Charis?
cheres. Yeah, it's, in other words, it's made of earthenware, and it has, you know, it's like wide. Now, usually a pot sort of goes up, if you follow what I mean. It's mm-hmm. more vertical. Here, it's a little bit more wide.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he calls shulayim rechavim. Okay. So let's take a look at Rashi for a moment. Rashi says, "Gzeira shem yale basar behema imagvina betoch ilfis roseach davi lebishul." So Rashi is saying that he may take the basar off and put it together with the basar gvina, and Rashi, if you notice, adds here basar behema. So this is because Rashi is assuming that halah and achila are one. And what's the problem of achila? The problem of achila would be if he put them all into an ilfus. You know, this reminds me. I don't know if you've ever eaten in a restaurant that fits this description. They bring out the main course under with a fire underneath it. Have you seen that? Like mm-hmm. in Netanya, there was, I don't know what the kashrus level is today, but back in the day it was reliable. It was called gachelet. I don't know if you've, anyway, they would bring out the food with an ilfus, and there was a fire underneath it. In America, they used to do that in Duggies, I think. You know, there's certain restaurants that are very popular in New York City, and that's the thing. So Shema Yala, Rashi says, Bosa Behemim Magvina Besoch Ilfis Roseach. Now again, keep in mind that according to Rav Yosef, he holds a Bosa Of Bechol of his Doraisa. But if you remember that Abaye himself was trying to defend Rav Ashi, who held that Bosa Of Bechol of his only Durabonon. If Rashi's goal here is to defend Rav Yosef, then it makes sense that he has to introduce Basar Behema, because at some point we, in order to justify all these gzeros here and the possibility of Yala Be'ilfis, he's got to mention Basar Behema in order to get it. The ultimate goal is to get here some sort of violation of a Doraisa of Bishul Basar Bechol. So therefore Rashi is compelled to mention Basar Behema. Could be that according to Abaye L'shitaso, we don't have to mention Basar Behema, because Abaye himself holds that we can make Zeres Otu Of. In other words, Abaye is of the premise that Of and Behema are sort of like one entity, even if Of is Drabonon. But Rav Yosef is a stickler about the fact that we have to get to some possibility of a violation of Doraisa, hence Rashi has to introduce Behema into the picture. And this is all because Rashi, like Tosfos, holds that the Kash of Rav Sheshes was directed at Rav Yosef. So let's understand Abai's response within the context of Rav Yosef. So there's got to be some sort of a Doraisa here, and Of would not do it for us, because Rav Yosef holds, I'm sorry, let's change it around. Just one second. No, what I just said to you is wrong. I'm sorry, I apologize. My mathematics was incorrect. Rav Yosef is the one who says that Basar Of is the Oraisa. So according to Rav Yosef, there was no need to mention Basar Behema. Rashi apparently wants to satisfy the Shita of Abaye that Basar Of is the Rabbanon, and now Rashi has to answer the question, well, in the worst case scenario, if after this whole domino, this whole Chagadya, he's going to violate the Oraisa, so Rashi is forced to introduce Basar Behema because of Abaye's Shita. That's what I would say. Now, I have here a footnote, and he says the following, that when the Gemara says Shemiyala Be'ilfis Roseach, what that means is that he'll put into the Ilfis both the Milchiks and the Fleshiks. And in the footnote here, he quotes the Ritva. The Ritva says that Choshesh Shema Adam Echad, one individual, will put both Basar Roseach. Just one second. So Adam Echad, Yale Basar Be'ilfas, V'chavero Yale Gvina, be'ilfis roseach. Huh. You hear what's going on here? No, it says Reuben and Shimon. Reuben is eating meat, and Shimon is eating milk, and they're all at the same table. Reuben is heating up his meat in his ilfis. Shimon is heating up his cheese in his ilfis. So what's the chashash? Shimon yatvil es hagvina shelo bibasar. He might come to dip his meat into, to dip his cheese into meat. So again, what the Ritva is trying to circumvent is the obvious question: what do you mean he's gonna put meat and milk into the same ilfas? Are we talking about a total ignoramus? I mean, he's not an amoritz gomor. I mean, everybody knows lo sevashal gedima chalevimo that he's not allowed to do this. So therefore, the Ritva is suggesting that it would happen inadvertently, because each one, the one who's eating meat on his side of the table and the one who's eating vino on his side, each one is heating up the meat and the milk respectively. Now the question is, could there possibly be inadvertent a kind of a shichicha in which, you know, he stretches his arm out, and instead of putting the, you know, it's, instead of dipping his gvina into the gvina ilfus, he dips it into the basar ilfus. So ein kan chashash yalu biyachad, and he'll put them both together simultaneously in the same ilfus to cook them together. El shiyale kol echad b'fnei atzmo b'ilfus roseach u'b'shas ha'achila yochla biyachad. Okay, before we spoke about tvila, the matvil, you might do a tibul biyachad, or alternatively, you might eat them together. Al yidei zeh yisbashlu ze im ze. So that's what I have here in the note here in the name of the Ritva. Now he brings another Ritva. The Ritva says that in this case we're afraid of an Isur Bishul Basar V'Cholav. And the question is that the way Rashi learns it? Rashi says, Shemiyala Basar Behema Im Gvina V'Tov Ilfusur Seach Dehavile Bishul. Yeah, Rashi seems to also put the emphasis here on Bishul. However, the Maram, who lived about four centuries ago, he's of the opinion that the gzera is atu achila and not atu bishul. That's the Maram. Then he quotes the Lev Aryeh. The Lev Aryeh also agrees to the Maram. If the iser, it should have said the following: Omar Abayim. It should have said Ella Omar Abayi, meaning the Ella would have been more appropriate if there was a change in what we saw before. So if we're now shifting over to a gzera otu achila, then it should have said Ella Omar Abayi. Just one second, let me get this again. I want to get the facts down on the ground. We have here the Ritva. The Ritva says that the chashash is because of Bishul. We got that impression in Rashi. The Maram is saying that the gzera is otu achila, and the Lev Aryeh agrees with the Maram. Now it says the following: Mimashalo amru ela amru abaye. Mashma shegamur maskana hagzera hi mishum achila v'lo mishum isur bishul. Ah, in other words, if we read the Gemara above, Abai is quoted as saying that the isharis lasuke of ugvina asi lasuke baser ugvina ulemechel baser v'chol of doraisa. Right, you see the word lemechel.
Yeah.
So in other words, by allowing halal, you're going to come to an Iser Achila. Now, if Abaye at some point, based on the kash of Rav Sheshes, is making a turnaround, and he's saying the chash is not mishum achila, as he postulated before, then it should have said Elo Amar Abaye, meaning you've convinced me that I have to restructure, I have to rearrange my troops over here. Mashmo l'maskona, gzeri mishum achila, v'lo mishum isur bishul. So this would all support the Shitas HaRitva and possibly and L'chora Rashi as well. I'm sorry. This would support the Shita the Maram against the Ritva that the Gzera is Mishum Achil. The Ritva is saying the Gzera is Mishum Bishul. And if the Gzera is Mishum Bishul, then Abai made a turnabout. He should have said El Amar Abai. That's the point of the Lev Aryeh. So it means that just like Abaye originally, before the Maskev Leir of Sheshes, understood that the Gzeres are to Achila, so to the Maskana, he agrees that his original position, he maintains his original position, and the Gzeres Mishum Achila. Again, as opposed to the Ritva. And he writes, V'taimo Mishum She'im Mala Basar Ugvin Al Ashulchan, Humalo some bishnei kelim nifradim v'ein tam. It doesn't make any sense. Lachshos sheyovol li'arvam v'litnam yachad b'ilfes roseach. To say that he has meat in one utensil and milk in another utensil, and now he's going to come to do bishul by putting them both into an ilfas, that's really far out. Ella, but rather, Gzerihi sheyovali ochlam yachad. Umemeli aniach echad etzel chaver bekli rishon. Nimtza shekala Gzerihi mishum achila. So there's a possibility that one would eat both. Again, we're not afraid that they'll put them into what? Into one ilfis and cook them together. But rather the gzera is that they'll come to eat them together. The only problem is, what do you mean to eat them together? And the whole kasha was that this is tzone and bitzone. So if he's not afraid that he'll put them both into a roseh, into an ilfis, then why do we have a problem of achila? And what does he mean when he says here umemele yadniach echad etzel chavero bekli rishon? Ah, kli rishon. He's assuming here that kli rishon is mevashel. So kli rishon is a kli that was on the fire. It's not on the fire now. And yaniach echad etzel chaveru bekli rishon. And I think what he's saying is that we're not afraid that he'll cook them together, but in the classic sense of putting them both into a pot with water and a fire underneath it, that's not going to happen. But what might happen is that since there's one person eating meat and the other person eating cheese, then they might end up eating them from a kli rishon, from the same kli rishon, not realizing that kli rishon is also mevashel. Nimtza, the bottom line is shekol gzerihi mishum achila. Now again, Rashi mentions bishul. So he says, "Umasha pirush Rashi sheyesh kan bishul hakavana sheyaval isra achila daoraisa shu al yedei bishul." And that's because kli rishon is mevasha. So just to summarize, again, we have two approaches as to how to understand Abaye's gzerish shemiyala the ilfas broseh. Are we talking about Bishul? And that's the Ritva. And it seems at first glance that that's what Rashi is talking about as well, which would have to indicate that somehow these you know, the basar and the gvina are going to be cooked in the same rosea, in the same ilfus. The Maharam is not happy with that, because I think it's hard to imagine that they'll come to a classic severe, a dramatic bishul, which means to put these two substances, meat and milk, into the same roseach. I mean, why is that going to happen? Into the zilfus.
No, there was to say that it should be a gzeira for this reason, that he doesn't make sense to him.
Right. It doesn't appeal to the Maharam, and we'll see how the Lev Aryeh supports the Maharam, that we're worried about a bishul, that they'll really come to put both meat and milk in the same pot that's got liquid and a fire underneath it. That's very far out. So what is the gzera? So all we get from the Maharam is that, according to the Maskana, the gzera is mishum achila. But how do we fit that into the Gemara? The Gemara says, Shaviyala ilfus roseach. So here's where the Lev Aryeh comes to the defense. In two ways. First of all, he supports the Maharam from a diuk, meaning since Abai originally said the whole gzera is mishum achila, we want to maintain that, otherwise it should have said Elo Amar Abai if he was backtracking. But secondly,
In other words, the statement mecha b'absar b'zav b'chagav b'raisa. So that's the achila, right?
Correct. It says it says mechal. Mechal means lechal.
Okay,
so obviously he's focused on achila, which is a doraisa. He should have said elam rabbi if he was shifting from achila to bishul. But rather, there's no chashash of bishul in the classic sense, at least. But what is the chashash, and why are we afraid that it might turn out to be some sort of an achila? And he says that there are two people, one's eating cheese and one's eating meat, in two different kelim. So we're not going to say that they're going to mix it together and put it into one common pot and cook it together, but they might come to eat these different substances off of a kli rishon. So the best I can do here is just quote the language here of the Shem Aryeh, of the Lev Aryeh. He says, Hagzeri hishiyovo li ochlam yachad umemeli aniach echad eitzel chavero b'kli rishon. Which I think, if I'm reading this correctly, means that kli rishon is bishul, and we're afraid that somehow he's going to eat both the cheese and the meat together.
That sounds like the maskuna here, where the Gemara says ella zera shema yana ilfus rishon. So we're talking about a kli rishon, I guess, and not the first statement of a Gemara.
Oh, so let's read the next piece of Gemara. So Gemara asks, sof, klisheni hu. In other words, he's not taking a kli rishon and bringing cheese or meat or both in a kli rishon to the table. Klisheni hu, klisheni nemevasha. The food that he's putting on the table, he's putting it into a klisheni. Now, klisheni and mevashel, and therefore, where's the chashashir v'nisit Torah? Elo gzera shemiyale be'ilfis rishon. But again, according to the Lev Aryeh, it doesn't mean ilfis rishon in the sense that he's putting both meat and milk into a cooking pot. That seems too far out. But rather, the close proximity here between gvina and basar might lead to a situation where they both end up in a kli rishon. So if I understand correctly, it's not that they brought out, you know, the food to the table, the meat and the milk in a kli, in a kli rishon. They probably logically brought it out in a kli sheni, but they might put it into a kli rishon. Now, kli rishon is a kli which was originally on the fire, and there was a cooking going on in this kli. Now he takes the kli off the fire, and that's called a kli rishon, and it has kof bishul. Now, if he would take the contents of the pot and pour it from the original pot that was on the fire into a second kli, that's called a kli sheni, and there's not enough heat in the kli sheni to effectuate bishul. The exception to that is called kaliya bishul, but that's a whole different sugya, that there may be certain things that you can cook even in a kli sheni. Now, would there be at least enough heat in a kli sheni lahaflit ulavlia? In other words, as far as blia is concerned, the kli sheni could generate blia. It's not a bishul, but at least it's a blia. Ulefichach af im yunchu yachan v'yivlu zeh mitamos shel zeh ein bo zeh iser basu b'chol dorais lufi shein zeh derech bishul. So again, you might have a situation in a kli sheni, and you'll find sugyas all over the place about lahaflit ulavlia. That's not a kasha on our Gemara, because our Gemara is specifically talking about bishul. The Torah only prohibited derech bishul, and kli sheni is not derech bishul. Oh, sha'af eno maflit umavlia klal. There are those who maintain a more extreme position that kli sheni doesn't even have the power of being maflit umavlia. It's not just that kli sheni is mufka from bishul, it's even mufka from maflit umavlia. And yesh omrim, there are those who say, shedavashu gush, let's say a piece of meat which is solid, afshu b'kli sheni, even when you take it out of its original kli and put it into a second kli, chomo nosarbo, it still retains its heat because it's a dover gush, kamo mitchila, as it was in the original pot. And therefore, even in a kli sheni, the food itself has a din of a kli rishon. So if you would put something on top of this meat, you could have bishul, even though the meat is sitting in a kli sheni. So these are some of the points that we made over here. Just, we wanted to get up to the Mishnah, so Baruch Hashem we were able to do that. I would like to revisit this discussion that we had before here about ilfis and exactly what the chashash is when they bring meat and cheese to the table and how he's going to violate an isa d'oraisa. And once again, are we talking about bishul or are we talking about achila? So bli neder, either tomorrow or maybe next week, I want to revisit that if I can, bli neder. But as far as where we're up to for tomorrow, we're up to the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Dalet in the base.